Dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Lenzing's conference call on the results of the first half year. This call is being recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulty hearing the conference, please press the star key followed by zero on your telephone for operator assistance. I now hand over to Mr. Untersberger. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Lenzing speaking. May I introduce who is here? The management, starting with Thomas Winkler, our CFO, Fritz Weininger, you remember the viscose guru, CEO of the company, and myself, Peter Untersberger, CEO. Many thanks for your participation, and I just jump into page three of the presentation. You remember all the eight investment highlights, and I start with an exceptional, extraordinary performance for the second quarter, resulting in a turnover of 544 million euro, with an EBIT of 133 million, which is reflecting an EBIT margin of 24.4%. And if just that before Thomas goes into the detail, that's a turnover of more than 1 billion, 1.07 billion for the first half, with a total EBITDA of almost 250 million euro. It's a historical performance for the Lenzing Group, half year as well as quarter. This strong performance and achievement is driven by two issues. Though we have seen a kind of consolidation in the standard viscose fibers in the last 3 months, but it was outdone by very nice price increases enjoying in Modal and in TENCEL, you remember our specialty fibers. And a very resilient and strong performance on the nonwovens, volume-wise as well as price-wise. Second highlight, and that's very important for the balance sheet, is that we managed to decrease our net debt by more than 130 million, from more than 300 to just 170 million euro on a balance sheet of more than 2 billion euro. Before we go into the fiber details, it's really a pleasure to already confirm and reconfirm our outlook. Remember that in June, we gave you an outlook of a range of 440 million-500 million euro, and today we are already in a position to confirm the upper end of the outlook from 470 million-500 million. Well, you remember the investment highlights, which has been driven by mega trends as well as by some other highlights, and let's run it through by ticking the boxes. Population growth, of course, is exactly there where we are selling our products. The same is with prosperity growth, and the same is with sustainability. There is no change. All trends are perfectly on track. The same is also on barriers to entry, and there's a reason why we have put that on. I just immediately come on that. And the same is on the resilience. When we show you the chart on cotton and markets, you will understand why that is on. Everything is in place. Expansion programs, we just very successfully started our line, our new line, 60,000 tons line in Nanjing 1 month ago, and we are well on track in Indonesia. On the macroeconomic outlook and environment, of course, the last 4 months have been very heavy, and your economists surely know much better what the impact will be. But definitely, I can tell you here in Lenzing, we are not talking about recession, we are not talking about double dip, we are not talking about correction of our guidance, just the contrary. There's only one issue where we are not very happy with. That's, of course, the share price, but even on that issue, we have seen a very nice recovery today. Well, I'm now already on page six, and there are five, and there is a reason why we are showing you that. This is the global market leadership in a fragmented market, and nothing has changed on the 17%. Just next is Graphene with 8%. But you remember in June, we told you about very numerous competitors in China growing, but in the meantime, a quite strong one, Shandong Helong, went belly up. And that we consider as the trigger point for a kind of consolidation in China, and we also mentioned that we want to be part of this game. So you can imagine that we are very, very carefully and intensely looking on that issues which are going on in China. And on the right side, which is clearly giving a very strong reflection of our resilience. Why we are saying that? Because Europe is occupied with itself, and U.S. may also have a tough rest of the year, maybe ahead of a very even tougher 2012. But with 53% of our sales in Asia, in a very dynamic China, in a very dynamic India, in a very strong Indonesia, and almost 15% of our sales in Turkey, also a very strong market, almost two-thirds of our sales are in extremely dynamic, long-term growing markets. And that really shows the global resilience of our business model. I'm going, jumping over to page 6, and that's again a reflection of our resilience, and it's even more. You remember in the second quarter we already told you that whatever goes up that strongly and goes through the sky, like cotton prices, almost $3.50, $6 a kilo, has to come down. It may have come down a little bit faster than we expected, but what's important, now we see as a kind of consolidation on a much, much higher level than it was in 2008 and 2009. We still keep our long-term cotton price of something like $1.20 per pound. And what the message of that? You see that we are gaining momentum again, and we are recouping the premium on cotton. Very clear. In the last 6 weeks of the third quarter, we have regained again a premium of 7%. That's very important insofar as high cotton prices, nobody bought cotton. Now, at lower cotton prices, Chinese are starting to buy cotton. We are still enjoying and further enjoying a very, very strong and dynamic demand environment all over Asia. And that will stay for standard viscose, but particularly also for the specialties. And now I hand over to Fritz. He will tell you the ingredients of our fiber success.
Good afternoon. Fritz Wenninger speaking. We are now on page 7. And Peter talked about consolidation, about cotton prices coming down. And I would like to show you on this page what happened Q2 versus Q1 concerning our fiber prices. And here you see that our fiber prices went up further by 1.8%. And that's mainly because of specialities going up and, of course, the stable non-wovens business. What happened to the will happen to the fiber sales quantities? We will add another 9% plus in the second half of the year compared to the first half of the year. On page 8, you see the two different business units, how they perform in terms of pricing and the pricing power we do have. You also see that our prices in Q2 versus Q1 went up by 1.3% in textile fibers, and in non-wovens even more, 2.4%. On page 9, we are now more specific and just go into the textile fiber segment. And here you really see how robust the specialty fibers are and what kind of price setting power we do have in this kind of segment. If you see on the upper left part, the viscose fiber prices, of course, in the textile segment were somehow touched through the consultation and cotton prices going down. They went down by 4%, minus 4%. On the other side, you see modal prices were increasing by 3%, and dental fiber prices even by 9%. So the robustness of that specialty business is quite clearly shown here. what happened in the non-woven segment, page 10. Here you see that also even in the viscose side, this is more stable, more because of bottling contracts, because of very longer-term orientation also in terms of the business. Here you see that we have another 2% price increase Q2 to Q1, and in viscose and in dental, we were able to increase the prices by 6%. When we were on the roadshow and we have seen you, then we were discussing, and you look at page 11, on kind of premium of the speciality fibers they do have versus the viscose fibers. And if you see on the right side, Q1, for instance, dental fibers, you ask quite often, yeah, why can that have only 9% of premium pricing compared to viscose fibers? Yeah, that was happening because viscose prices went up, jumped up quite strongly, so the additional margin went down. If you see now Q2, this is now going into that dimension. What we said already at this time is that the modal fibers premium is between 40 to 50%. In Q2 we are 144. And the dental fiber price premium compared to viscose will be 20 to 30%. Now we are at 24% on the viscose side, and on the non-woven side we further pick up. Page 12. Of course, I mean, fibers were affected by consolidation. Fibers were affected, viscose fibers, because of cotton prices going down. But what does it really mean to Lansing? And if you see the real fiber sales, what is that, which kind of share does it have? It's 74% of the total turnover we do have. Yeah. And now, let's say, distinct a bit more even, what does it mean within the fiber cells? It's just what was really touched was the viscose. The textile viscose with the 40% share was touched by the price decrease, and this was minus 4%, but it was offset, more than compensated, because the fiber prices went up in total by 1.8%, by 2.4% price increase in non-wovens, viscose non-wovens, and 3 to 9% price increase in the specialty fibers. Just showing you the middle part, how robust these specialty fibers are and what kind of share the textile viscose fibers do have, what we are talking about when we talk about the consolidation. Maybe I hand over now for some Q2 results more in detail to Thomas.
Yeah, thank you, Fred. With Q2, we have delivered on our commitment at the re-IPO. Q1 has not been the peak. Sales and profitability could be further increased, as exemplified by the numbers that you see on slide 13. However, we have seen an exceptional second quarter, with an EBITDA margin close to 25% and an EBIT margin of approximately 20%. We do not expect these margins in Q3 and Q4, but we stick to our commitment, which is that we see long-term margins to be anywhere between 21 to 23% on the EBITDA margin side below at the EBIT side, respectively. And that is what is important. We can confirm a rise in sea level regarding our profitability. And we are expecting Q3 and Q4 to be on average at the level of Q1 when it comes to margins. If you follow me to slide number 14, due to our strong self-financing ability of more than 100 million cash flow after investment in the first half of 2011 and approximately 70 million of fresh equity after costs, our net financial debt is now down at 170 million, which equals just above 18% gearing, with a total liquidity cushion of 688 million euros, consisting of 445 million cash plus about 243 million of unused credit lines, we are also pretty independent from short-term financial market turbulences. All of this taken together, a double-digit growth, a profitability growth that by far outperforms the top-line growth, and the megatrends being intact. All of this enables us to give you an upbeat outlook, and it has led us to narrowing the EBITDA guidance to the upper half of the range, as Peter has mentioned. We expect EBITDA to be between 470 to 500 million euros, and we expect EBIT to be between 360 and 390 million euros. And this is also assuming a continuation of the short-term price consolidation in China on the negative side, and an annual capacity increase in China ramping up in the second half of 2011 and becoming fully visible in the fourth quarter of 2011 on the positive side. The rest of the guidance remains unchanged. With this, I would like to thank you for your attention and open the floor for questions.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we are now starting the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press 0 followed by 1 on your telephone keypad. Your questions will be answered in the order they are received. One moment, please, for the first question.
Hi, thank you for the interesting detailed presentation. Just a quick question. The EBITDA margin in the first quarter was very high. It was higher than expected. And you said it will be lower in the third and the fourth quarter. Is there going to be any one-off effects or any cost effects that you expect in the third and fourth quarter, in particular as you're expanding, or as the expansion program is on track? And the second question I had, although EBITDA and EBITDA margin were higher than expected, the second quarter sales were a bit lower, I think, than consensus had estimated. I was wondering if there's any explanation for that, if there's any currency effect or any other effects that let's say it's come in a bit below the consensus. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for this question. For the avoidance of confusion, because you've mentioned Q1, EBITDA margin was 21.6%, and we believe that Q3 and Q4 on average will be at or around this benchmark. So the Q2 margin at 24.4% EBITDA margin was exceptionally high, and we've given the reasons for it. But we feel very comfortable with EBITDA margin as in Q1 in the quarters 3 and 4. Regarding sales, I would like to point out an additional information that was a bit covered in my charts. While we have produced exactly the same tons of fiber, we have shipped a bit less, and that always has to do with the number of sales days and holidays of whatever. So there is no one-off in Q2. It's just that As Fritz pointed out, when you've seen 345 million tons being sold in the first half, in the second half we expect 375 million tons being sold, and thousand tons being sold, and all of this depends on is the last days of a quarter a weekend or holidays or whatever. So no extraordinaries.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. Thanks very much. Three or four questions, if I can. Firstly, you talked about, in the first quarter conference call, you talked about pricing for the quarterly contract viscose prices about up about 8% in the second quarter. I wanted just to get a feeling for whether you'd achieve that all of that 8%, and perhaps whether you could give us some guidance for that number looking into the third quarter in light of what's happened to Asian prices, please. Secondly, I wonder if we might get some of, perhaps Fritz's insights onto the Chinese spot market at the moment. Obviously, we've seen Chinese spot prices have appeared to have just come off the bottom very recently. I wonder if you could talk us through your views of inventory levels in the fibers market more generally in China, and perhaps how you see that progressing, you know, the profile for the rest of Q3 and into Q4. And then a couple of financials, if I can. Firstly, the tax rate appeared to have been about 24% in the second quarter. That's obviously very close to approaching the 25% that you suggest being the underlying rate, excluding the B&C influence. So I wonder if you could have you changed your guidance on 22% for the full year. And finally, on CapEx, that was obviously very low in the first half, particularly in light of your guidance, which is unchanged at around 15% of sales. Have you sort of slowed down your capital spending plans, or is it simply a phasing issue, please? Thank you.
I mean, talking about price increases, and you talked about first quarter. At this point of time, we talked about price increases of minimum 10%, which we announced, actually. And this, of course, we achieved, because if you see Q1 versus Q4 2010, we went up by 19%. So that was executed. If you go into Q2 versus Q1, then you see when we talked about in another telephone conference, we talked about the specialty price increases. And there you see in Modal, we went up by another 3%, and in dental fibers, we went up by another 9%. Non-wovens, it was 6%. So in this range, we talked about during that time of discussion in Q2. But all what we said, I mean, just to sum it up, all what we said in terms of price increases were absolutely achieved.
Okay, so I would be right in interpreting then that the quarterly viscose contracts, i.e. those that you sell in Europe, were pretty much flat through the second quarter on the first quarter, and we should expect a little bit of a decline reflecting some of the drift off from the peak in Q3. Would that be fair?
Yeah. I mean, Q3 in viscose fibers will still be lower than Q2. That's absolutely clear. Just looking into China or other regions, of course, in textiles, we have to be clear that we're talking about textiles, about this 43% share. Yeah, we have to adapt, and Q3 will be below Q2. That's clear. Yeah. If you see the specialty fibers. Specialty fibers, we are still on level right now that we have on Q2, and in some cases we are even increasing some specialty fibers in Q3 versus Q2. And the non-woven fibers pretty stable Q3 versus Q2.
Still, again, for the avoidance of misunderstandings, when we look at price levels for Q3, Q4, on average, the fiber price will go into the direction of €2.10 to €2.12 on a quarterly basis. That's just for the avoidance of misunderstandings. Regarding your tax question, this is purely an allocation issue. I have to allocate the taxes, and I have no reason in the second quarter for any exceptionals. So I've allocated the taxes for the second quarter on a normalized basis. That does not mean that the tax rate for the full year is going to be 24%. We stay to what we said, which is the best educated guess, because, again, it depends on B&C's tax position, which is like 22%, around 22%. Regarding your question on CAPEX, you're absolutely right, and we've also discussed should we change our guidance on the CAPEX, but we didn't want to mislead anyone because there could be some shifts, particularly in connection with the TENCEL project in Austria, because it all depends on the environmental permissions being granted at whatever point in time. And we didn't want anybody to think that we are spending less. This is why we kept up our 15% CAPEX to sales ratio. If you look on a clearly annual basis, I would also think that the CapEx to sales ratio this year of 12% CapEx to sales is more likely, but that again has something to do as we can't precisely allocate what comes into 2011 and what comes into 2012.
Peter, the Chinese, you asked about, secondly, about the Chinese price development and the stock level development. I mean, Chinese stock levels were picking up at about 50 days, production days, stock levels, and that, of course, had as a reaction then finally the utilization rate of the plants, which were coming down continuously at below 50%. Now the stock levels are already below 40 days, and we see already that the production rates are going up to 67% and a flattening out of the fiber prices. So we had recently, over the last weeks, already again price increases. So it seems that the prices now in China are at the lower level, for sure, of course, in compared to Q2, but now leveling out, and we see already some slight price increases.
That's very helpful. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question.
Yes, hi, good afternoon. A follow-up question on your new CapEx guidance. You just said that for this year you're about to spend 12% in comparison to sales. So if I calculate correctly, that's around about 260 million euros. I was wondering what's the reason for that? And secondly, does this mean that in the coming years we will see higher CapEx numbers as a result?
And I'm sorry for being not precise enough. I said from today's point of view, okay, and given a more cautious stance on, you know, when permits are coming, and unfortunately, you know, this is a bureaucratic process that cannot be predicted precisely. From today's point of view, I think you would be well advised to maybe assume that it could be a 12% capex to sales ratio, and you're right, that would be 260, 270 million euros. However, do not expect that that means that we are reining in our capex. It just means that some of the capex that was planned to be spent in 2011 is shifted into 2012. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. Just a quick question on input costs. Could you maybe shed a little bit of light on what you expect, like year on year, regarding wood and chemical price increases? That would be the first question. And secondly, it's regarding Paskov. Could you quantify how much chemical pulp is Paskov is producing at the moment? And when they will stop selling paper pulp. Thanks.
Hello. Peter speaking. We have experienced a quite strong price increases on wood for several reasons, particularly in the Czech Republic. But we have reacted now in the third quarter. And we see already we enjoy already some quite significant reductions. The same is also valid for chemicals. Chemicals for the fiber business have been quite strong, particularly on special chemicals, due to the cooling off now starting in the third quarter. We see not only again an increased availability of special chemicals, which is also valid for the plastics business, but also a cooling off of prices. Paskov. When we mentioned in June that we are enjoying a very positive efficiency drive, and the project is the capex also is going fine. We calculate that on a yearly basis, already in 2011, we will be in a position to produce close to 50,000 tons of kind of dissolving pulp. This is not yet, I would say, great AAA quality, but it is a good quality we can live with, and that, of course, also reduces the necessity to buy spot volumes on high cost pulp markets.
Okay, thanks a lot. Maybe just a follow up on the wood price increases. Is it possible to somehow quantify the year-on-year price increase expectations on wood, or is it changing too?
Yeah, you remember in June we told that for instance on the wood price increases we expect for the next 3-4 years an increase in total of something between 12% and 15%. That we have seen already now in 2011, but I also mentioned that in the meantime we managed already to decrease prices by 10% again, so we are still a little bit up on a yearly basis, but I'm quite confident that our guys can put additional pressure, particularly on the Czech market, to further decrease prices.
For all of you who have the handout in front of you, on slide 30, you see the wood price increase indexed on 2008 being 100. And so the wood price increase in the first half of 2011 was a fairly steep 109. That is the Czech effect and the fact that we do multi-year contracts that have been renewed at the change of the year. On a CAGR basis, it's a 3.5% annual growth rate.
Thanks a lot.
Hi, good afternoon. My question is regarding dissolving pulp. Following the development in dissolving pulp prices, which is having a correction, I would like to ask how much of the gross margin is currently impacted by the Lenzing's advantage between the spot prices of dissolving pulp and the dissolved pulp cost realized by Lenzing, and how do you see it developing towards the end of the year?
Dissolving pulp prices, I mean, you didn't remember because we didn't see you, but the point is that we were talking in Q1, Q2 about the $2,600 a ton, which were coming down market prices now at $1,500 to $1,600 a ton. And we have that on page 29. There you see. This is exactly a bit above what we have shown here on our chart, $1,800 a ton being the market price, and our prices due to vertical integration is about $700 a ton. So the difference, our own pulp plants versus the market pulp price, now you have to put in $1,600 is the difference. And our 50% purchase from South Africa is in between that range. Yeah?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press 0 followed by 1 on your telephone.
Hi, one more question. Because we've been asked this question a lot, is there any cotton price that you calculate with for the full year 2011-2012, or is there any price you expect for the end of the year in cotton? Thank you.
I have my Peter speaking. I have my crystal ball here. But you remember in June we told you that our long-term and structural price for cotton is something between 120 and 130, and we stay there. We remain there. We expect that also cotton is not coming down to that levels it had in 2007, 2008, and 2009. And I think that our view is also supported by the fact that even if the market is talking in the first 6 months, 7 months about a record harvest, cotton harvest, prices actually just for 2 weeks went below one and now have recovered. And with floods in Pakistan and the heat and the drought in Texas, and maybe the one of the first hurricane coming now with the hurricane season, you may even expect that cotton futures may start to take off. That's volatility prices. But long term, we stick to our estimate of 120 to 130.
our full year estimate for the EBITDA, of course, is based on the currently prevailing cotton prices, which are somewhere between 100 cents and 110 cents. When you look at the cotton future for December, this morning for cotton A was 105 cents. Okay, so right in between. And Peter was giving you our long-term view. On cotton, we know that we are more on the top end of this, but the most recent developments in cotton seem to support our view.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, thanks again. Just a quick question on consolidation in China. You mentioned that you wanted to be a part of that and seeing what's happened to Shandong Hilan. My understanding was that that business had been taken over by Chenming Paper, but you know, when you say you want to be a part of that, are you indicating you want to sort of benefit from the improved competitive environment, i.e. less competition, or you actively want to you know, to look to take capacity out or acquire capacity if that opportunity arises? Thank you.
Well, we always say that it depends on the nature and the size of this target, so of this competitors. Shandong Hilan actually is a quite good producer, and it did not fail because of the viscose business itself. It failed because it made diversification into construction of a harbor and construction of real estate, and one of this project failed, and therefore the whole group failed. There are bigger and there are lower and smaller ones. And of course, we are not going to for the old small garage companies. It should have a recent size. It should have a good market outlay. If we are asked to be part, we will have a closer look on that.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, two questions. A follow-up question, actually, on your acquisition strategy. If it comes the decision versus buying or building, actually, is there a major difference? Meaning, are your own capacities much more efficient? So, is it preferable to build new capacities, or would it be sensible also to acquire the Hilan capacities, as an example? The second question is in dissolving pulp. Obviously, these prices can swing quite significantly, and I wanted just to ask on your contracts, was there ever a time when your contract was a kind of disadvantage because dissolving pulp prices went further down, like in 2009 or so, or was it, let's say, over the period, even in a recession time, an advantage to having these long-term contracts here and a good delivery on that?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, on the make and buy, we have to differentiate particularly between viscose, modal, and tensile. On tensile and modal, there is no competition on the market because we have almost monopoly market shares. So on the viscose, as I said, it should have a recent sense and degree of quality. And if we come to environmental necessities, almost none of the Chinese competition does have it. So we have to always look very carefully also with respect to dissolving pulp integration or cotton linters integration. That's not so easy to just say yes, make or buy. And on the dissolving pulp, in the last couple of years, and we have this contract now since six years. Yeah, so 5 years to 6 years. I do not remember any time where it was of disadvantage. You only could say that it's a kind of relative disadvantage because, for instance, the Chinese had to pay 2,500 and now have to pay 1,600. And, of course, this difference we did not enjoy in buying. But you cannot have both the cake and eat it. It's just one time. But when the PIX now comes down on the paper pulp, which is the reference price on our contract, and it has come down already $70, then we enjoy this advantage.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Just one follow-up question, please, on your Chinese competitor, Shandong Hilan. where you say it's in bankruptcy. So does this mean that the this asset is disappearing for the market, the capacity disappears, or will it come back at some stage?
No, that this capacity, of course, in the terminal for maybe 2 months was out of operation, but now with the transfer by the government, by the province government, that it was transferred to Chenming Paper, as Peter has already mentioned, they are slowly coming back because it makes pretty good quality from the Chinese point of view, and so we have to expect that it is not disappearing. But we do not expect who is really finally taking the hand on.
Okay.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press 0 followed by 1 on your telephone. I repeat once more, if you would like to ask a question, please press 0 followed by 1 on your telephone.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, obviously the results have been such strong and surprising for you that you have no further questions. I thank you very much for all your questions, for your attendance and your time, and thanks a lot to be with us.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may disconnect.